Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to the Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Today, our guest is Anjali. Anjali, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. So nice of you. So let us know where you live and what you do.
I live in New York City and I have a turmeric and chai business, essentially. So I make spice blends and chai blends designed with the intention of helping make it as easy as possible and as delicious as possible for people to get high quality turmeric into their systems on a regular basis.
Awesome. So how do you got the inspiration of this business?
So I was a photographer prior to starting this business. And I really, like, my motivation was that I wanted to do work that empowered people. So I did portraits as a photographer and I kept having conversations with my clients and with other people about the things that helps them feel more empowered. And often those conversations led to conversations about the things that we were eating, the things that we were trying to eat more of. I had started getting disillusioned with the photography world and felt that it wasn't my future. And I basically realized that I had created this snack product for myself that was a super seed snack product. It was good, clean energy. It really helped me with my blood sugar. And it was sort of like the snack that I always wished was always on a photo set or always in my pocket when I needed it. What I didn't realize was that it was not scalable. So I went all in. I borrowed money from my parents and got started on this snack brand and pre-sold subscriptions to it, which I thought was really smart, except that I couldn't scale it. And so, you know, I spent the first year really trying to just fulfill subscription orders and not really being able to go much beyond that, which set off a series of like horrible, like chronic health issues for me, including migraine headaches. And the way I combated those headaches was, first, I started leaning on Advil. And then my stomach was like, excuse me, lady, you know better than this. You have better tools than this that not only will help reduce the inflammation in your system, but also give you benefits. The side effects of having things like turmeric and ginger are beneficial to your body as opposed to detrimental, like with other powerful anti-inflammatories on the market. So I had always, you know, my mom, as any sort of South Asian kid knows, like the default for anything, whether it was a headache or an upset stomach or a sprained ankle, was turmeric. So I always hated milk. It was not my thing as a kid. So the Hulbi Boo, the turmeric milk, was not my favorite thing, but I knew that it worked. And so when this happened and I started having these migraines, I started trying to use powders, but I not only didn't enjoy it, so I avoided it, they didn't work that well. So I had been juicing. So I broke out my juicer, found some organically grown turmeric root, and made myself some fresh turmeric juice along with a bunch of other things. But the problem is fresh turmeric goes bad very fast. And while it tastes delicious, it's just a messy thing to deal with on a daily basis. So I kind of was trying to wrap my head around, why is fresh turmeric so drastically different from powdered? And the truth is, it's really just in the processing. There's so much processing. Almost all turmeric on the market has been boiled right off of the field. And 15 minutes of boiling kills 85% of the benefit. So that means you have to take a lot more. Not only does it affect the taste, you have to just take these huge doses of it in order to get the same benefit that a small little knob of the fresh root will give you. So I said, okay, well, you know, maybe I can figure out something better. So I literally created my turmeric elixir as a solution for myself. And what I saw was that within 2 months of drinking this daily, I never had a migraine again. And that was in 2014. So I said, if I can source the best ingredients on the planet and make something that truly is a revolutionary product, like something that I feel can truly make a difference in people's lives, then that very well may be the best contribution I can make to the world. So I found a farmer growing 3 varieties of turmeric, which allowed me to get a very high curcumin content and also just this beautiful, smooth, fruity taste, and started working with him directly, sourced my lemon from California, sourced my maple from New England. Maple is a non-traditional ingredient in Ayurveda and in South Asia. But I always say that if there were maple trees in South Asia, we would be using maple in Ayurveda for sure. So that's sort of my nod to the fact that I was born in Canada and raised in New England. Maple is something that I have a lot of respect for, and it really works. It actually helps as a transporter. So it actually helps get turmeric, which is difficult for your body to utilize, into your cells as fast as possible. And then I've also put in lemon peel, black pepper, all these things that boost availability and absorption of the turmeric. And I made a blend that can just go into hot water. So that's something that I still drink almost daily, literally have some here, and that a lot of coffee shops have taken to making their turmeric lattes with. And so that was really how the business started. And then that was 2015 that I launched the Resilience Blend. And then it's been quite a journey. I've rebranded, I've gone from making it myself to co-packing, and, you know, added many products to the line since then.
Awesome. All right. So how you define the audience that you're targeting at this time?
How I defined it, you know, of course, I was one of those people like, this is good for everyone. It was really by seeing who was gravitating to the product, who was coming to my website, getting to know them, because I had a lot of people reach out to me and doing a lot of demos and pop-up markets, and like seeing who are the people who, you know, I can almost tell as they're walking over to the table that this product was made for them. To not to be like stereotypical, but like there's a couple of groups where the adoption rate has been very different. One is Gen X women. We're sort of the driving force of the economy, right? So I would say millennial, like elder millennial to Gen X, we're the ones who are like investing in health. We're like the ones who are dealing with some health problems and have really accepted sort of the toll our 20s took on our body, and starting to deal with things like arthritis and gout and other kinds of autoimmune issues that really force you to take a look at what you're putting into your body. I would say the second largest group then after that is actually entrepreneurs. So people who really, really value functionality and the value that the dollars they're putting into the market contribute to their well-being, if you will. So those are, I would say, the two largest groups. And the entrepreneurs are interesting because they don't really, they're not a certain age group. It's a mindset almost.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you can add software engineers as well. I believe so. Okay. So at this time, you are selling on retail or on e-commerce as well? And if you are selling at both sides, then what's the ratio for both of them?
So I don't have a brick and mortar myself. I sell on my website. My website is roughly 30% of the business. I would say the largest component of my business is actually food service. So selling in sort of larger bulk quantities to coffee shops, that's probably about 45% of the business. And then the other 25% is selling to independent grocers and places like Whole Foods. I've just gotten back onto Amazon as well, and I'm working with a third party. I just decided that me taking on figuring out Amazon, it was something I was reluctant to do, you know, which is a whole other podcast. But it's also, I just know that the convenience of it is so high. And it was something that I just didn't have the time as a solo founder to figure out on my own. So I'm selling my product to another business who is selling it on Amazon. And that has just started. So I don't know how that will switch up the ratio. But for now, that's the breakdown.
All right. So while you are selling it online as well, then you must have some marketing plan. If you have a marketing plan, so how it look like?
I wish that I had a more concrete marketing plan. I will admit that social media was a bigger part of it than it is now. I did have someone for a while who was running the social media, but frankly, I put as much as of my the money that I have access to. So it's not just sales, but also what I've been able to borrow into new product development and inventory. And so I've kind of decided that I was going to post on social media when I could, but I wasn't going to rely on it because I wasn't also seeing the big return on investment that I expected in being diligent about social media. I was left with the feeling that unless I had deeper pockets to invest in a paid presence of whatever kind, that it wasn't the best use of my time. So I chose to put that into R&D and then as possible, like, you know, showing up at the trade shows and doing pop-up markets and really, really, as much as possible, connecting directly with my consumers. Because I know that once people try my product and see how very different it is from anything else and see like what a difference it actually makes in their lives, that it's something that they're super loyal to and that they want to share with other people in their lives. And that organic growth is really what has sustained my business for now 10 years.
That's awesome, in fact. So in terms of your goals, short-term goals, what you are looking for in 3 to 6 months?
Well, 3 to 6 months, I launched a Ultra Concentrate, Masala Chai Ultra Concentrate just recently. This is about to launch at Joe Coffee in New York City, which is a coffee shop that has about 25 locations. I'm in probably about 20 locations now. I'd like to see that triple if I can. Now, the tricky part is like I'm using a single origin certified organic Assam tea that has a harvest, right? Like there's only so much tea grown each year at this estate, and I can only afford to buy so much of it. So one thing is to get access to cheaper capital so that I can invest more. And the second thing is probably to look at how I'm going to grow production. I've been really lucky that basically I was able to create and develop this product with friends of mine who make syrups in Brooklyn, and they were an absolute godsend because they are not co-packers, but they agreed to help me with this, and hopefully it will also help their business, but they also have another business. So there's only so much growth that they can support. So finding another co-packer and then also finding alternative packaging. So I was adamant that I was not going to be one of these concentrate products that was, for one thing, one-to-one. So I feel like that's very environmentally irresponsible to be shipping that much. You know, if it's a ready-to-drink product, that's one thing. It serves a purpose. But when you see a product like this is an 8-ounce bottle. For most of my competitors, this bottle would only make 2 cups of chai. You know, it's like 4 ounces of the concentrate with four ounces of milk. This bottle makes 8 drinks. So the difference in impact when you're packaging and shipping that much water is significant. But I am doing this in glass because that's what I have the solution for right now. I'd love to move that into a Tetra Pak or something that is less fragile and even lower carbon footprint to ship around. So, you know, that's, I sort of dealt with the issue of making something that if you took a sip of would actually be a taste of the subcontinent. That was my first goal, is that I hadn't tasted a concentrate to date that actually tasted like chai in India. I think that most of what's out there is culturally appropriated. So I also, a big part of my goal for 2024 is to raise awareness because, you know, you ask anyone who's been to India, who is from India, who just loves chai, and they'll generally have some look of disgust when you ask them about chai at coffee shops. And so that is a story, though, that I don't think the mainstream understands. I don't think people understand that it's like if you had the most beautiful pour-over coffee, and then, you know, someone told you that, in fact, Folgers instant coffee was real coffee, was the best coffee. So I think that getting that story into the mainstream, letting people know to like question what they're spending that, you know, $5 to $7 on and see if that's, in fact, you know, the best thing that could be there. And, you know, really hopefully driving my customer base to go to their coffee shops and demand something better. And, you know, I know with that will come other people to serve that gap, because I can't make chai concentrate for every coffee shop in the country. But I do think that it's something that South Asian people should be doing, because we know what it is. Like, I've been like the family chai wali for like 3 decades now. Anytime there's a get together of like 4 to 40 people, Anjali, can you make some chai? So while I started the business with turmeric, like the chai, you know, they're both things that I'm very passionate about. And right now that focus is on getting that chai out there. And there is some turmeric in this, by the way. So every blend that I make has some turmeric so that people can just slip a little bit into their diets, which helps it accumulate into their bodies.
Yeah, obviously. This is something that nobody can do better than South Asians.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
So Anjali, what would be your biggest piece of advice for our viewers?
So for people who are early in their entrepreneurship journey, I would say that, you know, it's important to know what's happening in the world. It's important to pay attention to the pulse. I think one of the things that's worked best for me is that I've developed relationships with people and I've been curious and I've asked a lot of questions. It was the reason that I made this concentrate product, because I knew that I was very anti-concentrate, but I kind of accepted that the people that I wanted to work with needed this product. So I just, you know, I had to have the conviction that I could then fill that gap in the marketplace, but it took time. This has not been a fast journey. So I think that patience and really sort of not buying into the overnight success stories. There are some of those, but especially if you're an immigrant or first generation and don't have access to generational wealth, you probably aren't going to be able to go to $1 million in year one. And I have embraced in just in the last 2 years that I've really been the tortoise. You know, I have not been the hare. I have not been in a full sprint. It has felt like it sometimes. I have put in long hours, but I've gone very slowly. And I think that is why I'm now, you know, in year 10, in a position where I can really put my foot on the gas and grow in a much bigger way and really like taking everything in, but staying true to yourself, because it's really like the integrity of your vision that's going to propel you forward. It's not going to be listening to everyone else.
That's a beautiful advice, I believe. So thank you, Anjali. Thanks for joining today. Please let us know how we can reach you, how viewers can reach you. If you can share your website and your social media handle, it will be good.
Yeah. So everything is basically at Anjali's Cup now. These are what my powdered blends look like. My website is Anjali's Cup, ANJALISCUP.com. So all of my blends can be purchased there. As I mentioned, they're also on Amazon. In the Northeast region, they're at Whole Foods, and social media is all at Anjali's Cup. So primarily Instagram. If you send me a DM on Instagram, it's going to come directly to me. Happy to answer questions or help if I can.
Awesome, Anjali. So nice of you for appearing today. It was really nice talking to you.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Anjali. Stay in touch. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.